And it's certainly good to have so many of you to return back for our afternoon even service. We certainly were entreated by a great sermon this morning about holiness. I needed to hear that. We can become lost in the world and all of its affairs, realizing that God has called us unto holiness, which means to be sanctified, set apart. And that's why we were told in 1 John 2:15, not to love the world. And so Brother Craig hit it right on the nail this morning. The church needs a big dose of that from time to time. Your time occupying the pew is good to bring your worship to God, but it's when you leave here, are we still sanctified and are we still holy? Because those who witness your lives, they're watching to see what type of life you are living, and are you truly a servant of the Lord? Can they tell by your life that you belong to Jesus? All right, I'm going to stop right there. Because Craig did such an excellent job there this morning on that subject of holiness. And we need to hear some more sermons on holiness. Turn to your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 8. And we pray that all is going well with Brother Greg Dismute, who's away from us. And that's why we were filling these responsibilities, duties, that where he's preaching, that much fruit will be born to the glory of God. The book of Romans is a profound book when studied in its entirety. The theme of the book of Romans is the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, a very familiar verse to most of us who are students of the Bible. And Paul goes into the book of Rome, the Romans, to the church at Rome that was comprised of Jew and Gentile. And the very fact that when you look at the book of Romans, you can see the very need for salvation. You see, when the word a need means something is missing. When you need something, it's something that must be fulfilled. Man is in need of God and his salvation. We need him. When the Bible said there is none righteous, no, not one. Paul illustrated that in Romans chapter 3. Jew, just because you had a covenant relationship with God at one point, now on this side of the cross, you need to know who Jesus is. As Brother Eric Owens demonstrated a couple weeks ago, the main thing is Jesus. Amen. And that's what this is all about. It's not about me, brethren. It's not about you. It's not about Greg Dismute. It's not about the members or the visitors who come our way. It's about Christ Jesus and him crucified. That's what this is all about. And so Paul illustrates, no, there's not one that is righteous. Don't elevate yourself. Don't think of yourself more highly than you are. Romans 12, verse 3. We all came to the cross as filthy rags. We all needed Jesus to come and die on that cross, as we've heard from time to time and again. Yes. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 7, as Paul was speaking in the third person about the man that was under that law, the law of Moses, the frustration of offering up those sacrifices year after year, to have his conscience clear, which Hebrews 9 says it didn't clear. Because God did not forgive sin by the sacrifice of bulls and goats. They couldn't remove sin. But God imputed his righteousness as long as they followed him under that law. And God eventually sent that perfect sacrifice known as Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of all the world. There it is. And so, under that old system, Paul writes about the frustration of that man under that system. And then when he gets to Romans chapter 8, there is now, therefore, oh, this is good news. Good news, brother. As Brother Craig said, this is why you come to worship, to hear God's word preached. You need to be re-energized spiritually after being out in the world. all during the week and being bombarded and beat down and told what's wrong, and you can't know what's right, and there is no truth, and you can't find the truth, and who says there is a God? And it can go on and on. And you need to come back to worship. Amen. To be rekindled back to the one who did come and love you, that you know about. Yes. Instead of hearing all that other stuff. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, who have made me free. Now, Paul using a personal, who have made me free. That applies to every other saint there at the church. And hereafter, subsequently, that's all of us as well, who have obeyed the gospel. He's made us free from the law of sin and death. Yes, man needs deliverance. Yes, he does. We're not talking about the law of Moses. That's not the law there. It's the law of sin and death. Where did that start at? In the garden. See, when you sin, you die. That's the law of sin and death. That law is true in Newport News, Virginia today. That's right. See, that won't nail at the cross saying like the law of Moses. That in the law of sin and death still continues. That's right. And as he said, for the law of the Spirit of life, that's referring to that gospel of Christ, have made us free from the law of sin and death. And the fact that man needs redemption. He needs a Savior. Paul reiterates this all throughout this chapter of who it is you are listening to. Are you following your flesh or are you following the Spirit? There's a great contrast going on in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, and the struggles that was thus far one time under the old law that God now made it possible for us to overcome. And that's why I had you sing that song, Brother Benny. There are trials on every hand, but Jesus is there to help us to overcome those trials and don't let them trials overcome us. And so therefore, man desperately struggles against the pressures and the forces that are within himself and that are alien to him. He struggles against the weight and the discouragement of trials. All of us may have been through some type of trial. There's some of us might be in a trial right now. I don't know what your situation may be. But thank God, whatever it is, you say, I do know Christ. Amen. And I can look to the cross. And I can get on my knees. And I can pray. I'm not going to let this thing take me down. Amen. Because in Christ Jesus, I can stand. Yes, you can. And even when we are put down, we can get back up. Amen. That's what the church needs to hear. We need to hear that. You can get back up. And what if you do falter? That's okay. You go to God in prayer. We serve a big God, brother. Very merciful. Very long-suffering. God's greatest desire is that you get to heaven in the end. That's what the Lord wants. He wants that more than you want, Brother Sam. He wants that more than you want, Montrell. God wants you to come home with him. And you need to want that, Brother Benny. That's right. You need to want to go to heaven in the end. And for his sake, it's very important that you get there. You must get there. You cannot afford not to get there. You can't afford it. None of us can. If only 10 of us can go, I want to be one of them. Amen. If only 5 of us can go, I got to be one of them. If only 2 of us can go, I'm going to be one of them. If only 1 of us can go, I love you all, but I'm going. I love every one of you, but I'm going. Yes, sir. I'm going. I heard about that other place. I'm not saying it's just to be, you know, because of God has warned us. But why do I want to go to heaven? What's my purpose for going? Because somebody loves me so much that when Maxwell makes a mess, he still picks me up. That's why I want to go. And for somebody to love me that much, I got to be around him in the end. That's right. See, you got to fall in the idea of loving God and not just heaven. You got to fall in love with the one who brightens it. That's why we got these people that are so in love with this earth. And oh yeah, the oceans look beautiful, and that's a beautiful waterfall. And that mountain shore look wonderful. Yeah, all this. But you forgot who made it. Can you imagine how beautiful he is? That's what I'm talking about, brother. Yes, sir. We go through these struggles, and we remember there's somebody that's greater that can help us in these struggles. We struggle against the pollution and the corruption of this life. We struggle against relentless accusations and bombardments against us. We struggle against pain and decay of the body. We struggle against the unknown, the hurt, the sorrow, the loneliness, the alienation, the aging, and then eventually death. We struggle against all that, brother. Yes, sir. Then there's the fear that strikes so many who don't have an answer for death. Because you ever sit around somebody at work and say, you know, so-and-so died, and everybody get quiet. They ain't got no answer for it. Well, I hope they went to heaven. You know, most people, everybody say heaven. You ain't never heard somebody say, they probably went to hell, didn't they? You ain't never heard nobody say that, did you? Oh, your aunt died? Well, she probably in hell. You ain't going to say that. No, she drank about 5 Jack Daniels a day. Yeah, she was a character. Oh, but she in heaven right now. You ain't never heard that. Everybody's in heaven. But those of us who are of the truth, we know better. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, going to enter. But he that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's right. Jesus said that. He said it. Matter of fact, I got that over my desk at work. Live for Jesus today so the preacher won't have to lie tomorrow at your funeral, brother. Yes. Struggles. Romans 8. What a great book. What a great chapter. Brother, you know, it wouldn't do us harm to look at Romans 8 and just read it from time to time. Am I winning in the battle? Am I giving in to my flesh? Or am I listening to the Spirit? You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that they who are in the flesh can't please God. Did you know that? Romans 8:8. Look at it. So then they are in the flesh cannot please God. What are you talking? We mean in the flesh. Well, we're all in the flesh. But it's who you're minding. That's the contrast. Are you minding the members of your body? Are you minding the Spirit? Which is contrary to that. And so then there's the challenge. Here's the struggle that we constantly have to fight with. Paul comes to the summit of his preaching in this very chapter. You know, for God's main purpose in bringing us home one day with him. You know, we heard that verse, for if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, when you think about Romans 8:28, and these are just some, I haven't gotten to the text yet, I'm almost there. But Romans 8:28, we read, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Did you know there's a qualifier in there? To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, all things work good for who? Who does it work good for? The qualifier is them that love him. There it is. It's limited to a point there. God will work out whatever the crisis and the situations going on in your life. When you love him and you obey him, sometimes there are circumstances and situations that happen that are beyond us. And God will work the things out. You remain faithful. That's God's promise. All things will eventually work out. He'll work them out on your behalf. You see, the promise ain't to someone who ain't living unfaithfully. It's to one who loves God. What did Jesus say that is? She says, if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. That's who loves God. That's the great qualifier. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's who knows God. Don't fool yourself. And so as we look at this text here, I'm about to get to my text now. In verse 35, Paul goes on to say now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall persecution, he says, shall distress, shall famine, nakedness, peril of sword. He said, as it is written, we are killed all the day. He says, we are counted as sheep
full and swallowing. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Did you hear that? We are more. He says, now, continuing, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul said, I am persuaded. Are you persuaded of your love of God, his love of you? God went to great strides to secure you and to bring you back home with him in the evening. I remember back in, I forgot what book, but in one of the Old Testament books, I want to say Isaiah, I'm not sure about that. Well, it might have been Jeremiah, but God told Israel, for I have loved you with an everlasting love. It's continuous. And so as we think about this love, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Well, first of all, that question challenges all those who oppose God's love for his people. Yes, it does. Because, you know, they're looking at you. It challenges them. Do you really love God as you claim you do? I know how people look at you. They look at you differently. See, they don't look at you as they look at the rest of the world. Because already you said you belong to the Lord's church, and you go to worship, and you pray, and that's right, you're here on Wednesday night Bible study. They look at you totally different. You may not even realize, but that's how they look at you. You know, because even though they're not thoroughly or truly convinced as you are, you may be the only Bible they see for the moment. So they're going to watch your behavior. That's right, they're going to watch your behavior. To see if this thing about God and this great house of his is real. Or are you just like everyone else? You like Creflo Dollar and you like Eddie Long. You heard of some of these priests so-called, and they've been caught in all their scandals. You like one of them. Now, we know they aren't members of the Lord's house. But they don't know that. See, they are dressed along with them. Yes, they do. So we need to be different. Yes, ours need to be real, and it is real. Well, we didn't obey the Santa Claus story. No, we heard the gospel of Christ. That's real. That's more real than some poem Shakespeare wrote. It's real. It's credence. It's real. It's very real. And so it challenges all those who doubt God's love for his people. Unfortunately, you're going to always have people that oppose Christ. Remember what Paul wrote to the Philippian church in Philippians 3, verse 18 and 19? For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell even you weeping. Now Paul said he was weeping. Now, I heard some commentators say this might be involving some members in the church who are not living as they should, who oppose. Yeah, that's right. See, Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. That's right. And as well as this could be attributed or addressed to those who are outside the body of Christ. But anyhow, Paul said he was weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You see, there are those who reject the cross of Christ, those who do not accept the death of Christ and his payment for sins. You see, their God is their belly, their appetite, their sensuality, their desires are for the physical things of this life and this world. And the physical and the material gratification is their God. But that should not be so with us, brethren. We need to demonstrate that we have a higher calling, that we have refrained from some of this stuff, that we don't give ourselves totally to the lower nature of man. And that we are now trying to energize the inner man, the spiritual man is what we tend to. And so therefore, there's a great contrast between that of the holy walk of Paul and those who walked with satanic steps. Paul was not silent towards the enemies of the cross, as so many are duped by Satan and his devices, are deceived by sin. You see, in the beginning, go to Acts chapter 4, verse 2, Montreal, if you got that. Then I want you to get Acts 5, 28.
You see, and there are going to be those that say, don't you preach Christ. And in the beginnings of the church, the Sanhedrin were grieved that the apostles taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. What does Acts 4:2 say, Brother Montrell?
They're grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead.
Wait, hold on. Don't be talking that Jesus stuff around here. We don't want to hear that right now. I ain't got time to hear that. If you ain't talking about Monday Night Football game, I don't want to hear about Christ. I'm so sick of him, Montreal, every time he comes on the door, he want to talk about Jesus. I'm so sick, that's all he knows is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's good. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Don't you preach that, don't you teach, don't you do that. That's what the world, that's what they want to do. Don't you do it. Keep going. Can you imagine the apostle? Oh, that's enough of that. We ain't doing no more of that. We're going to stop right now. What is Acts 5:28 now? After they've been through all that, they went to jail. Angel let them all out. And they come and stand just before they stand before the Sanhedrin again. And 5:28, what does it say?
The high priest asked them, saying.
Wait a minute, hold on. The high priest. We ain't talking about the Roman. We're talking about the high priest. Keep going.
Saying, did not we strictly command you that you should not teach?
Didn't we tell you not to do this? And for some of us, that'd be it, wouldn't it? Man, the love of Christ. We stop right there. That's enough. Keep going.
And behold, ye have filled the room with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.
Now, what's verse 29 say?
And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Did you hear that? We ought to obey the one that loved us than to obey man. You hear what God? In that instance, God's law is overriding here. There's sometimes God's law takes precedence. That's right. We ought to obey God. See, even though they oppose, and the apostles are demonstrating that love, that they're not going to allow that to be severed. They know how much Jesus loved them to the point that they was willing to put their life on the line to stand before that Sanhedrin. Yes. We ought to obey God rather than man. Let me tell you, brethren, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. It's foolishness to them, but not to us, brethren. And just like Brother Craig illustrated earlier this morning in this thing of holiness, you ought to be glad God has invited you unto the mount. Of that of Zion. You ought to be glad God has invited you into his presence. You ought to be glad that you've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus where you can be in a relationship with God. There's not a greater relationship than that. If Obama gave you an invitation tonight, some of you would burn all your ties off to get up there to see him. But Jesus invited you into his house. The psalmist David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thank God that you're a member of the Lord's house, the true church of God. You ought to be thankful that you're part of something great, something that's special. As Moses said, what nation is so nigh unto God? Yes, we are. We're that holy Israel right now. We're that commonwealth of Israel. Yes, who shall separate us from the love of God? And who can lay any charge to God's elect? It is God that justifies, Romans 8, verse 33. You see, there is no wisdom, no understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 5 for right quick, verses 24 and 25. The Bible says also in Psalm 89, 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Mercy and truth shall go before his face. Almighty God. Yes, justice and habitation. What's Romans 5:24 tells us?
Romans 3:24,
I'm sorry.
Being justified freely by his grace.
Stop being justified freely. Yes.
By his grace.
Yes.
For the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
See, when you hear that, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Something was done that you could not do. Keep going.
God had sent
God sent for who? God the Father sent him forth to be a propitiation, to soothe and calm the wrath of God on your behalf. Keep going.
Through faith
in
his blood.
Through his blood. Now, isn't that what he told the Ephesians earlier? He said, now, by the blood of Jesus, you've been brought nigh. You hear that? That blood, brother. We talk about it every day at that table, every Sunday. The blood of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Keep going.
His blood to declare his righteousness for the remission.
Watch this. To declare his righteousness. God is declaring his righteousness by giving the most precious thing he had to give. That's his son. He's declaring it. Just when the devil thought he had him defeated, he didn't. That's right. Let me tell you something, brother. Good will always overcome. Two wrongs ain't never made a right. No, sir. Good will always overcome evil. Think about that. And God demonstrated that at its zenith when he gave his only begotten son. Keep reading, my brother.
He declared his righteousness for remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and to justify him which
that he might be just and to justify him that believe. Thank you, brother. See, that's why we can say, if God be for us, who can be against us? We can say that, brother. You see, this question challenges everyone who opposes God's scheme of redemption. It challenges that. But God's going to come out like we, in the end, smelling as a rose. Oh, yeah. And that God will be vindicated in us. You know, the sinners are going to judge the world in the end. The Lord will have all those faithful who have obeyed and lived for him. That's right. To bring judgment upon the ungodly in the end. And that's unfortunate. You know, think about God delivering up his son. When you look at Romans 8, verse 32, the Bible goes on to say, who can lay anything to God's elect? You know, and if God be for us, who can be against us? Then he gets to verse 32. He spared not even his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God could not even spare. He couldn't even spare his own son. God could not even imagine the fact of us being separated from him. That's how much God loved us. You know, God didn't give us an angel. He didn't give us one of those angels. No, he gave us his son. Amen. That's right. And his son had to be subject to this ungodly world, to be ridiculed, to be blasphemed, to be spit upon, to be persecuted. That's right. He subject himself to all that to redeem you and me. He could have quit, as Brother Craig said, he could have quit along the way. He could have said, I could have called 10,000 angels. I could have ended all of this. But because I love you so much, I'm willing to go into the devil's den himself and to bound the strong man to secure in your salvation. He's stronger than the strong man in his house. That's what Jesus did, to spoil all his goods. So man didn't have to be afraid of death any longer. That's right. If you're right in Christ Jesus, you don't have to worry about death any longer. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Secondly, this question challenges the very fortitude of the Christian. It challenges us. As it says, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. This is a quote from Psalm 44, verse 22. Yes, in the midst of trials, a lot of Christians have not lasted. They've lost their faith in Christ. I know of some personally. You know of some that have lost their way behind some type of trial or temptation. But they walked away from Christ. Christ did not go away from them. Too many people, sadly, even we Christians, feel at some point that God really don't love me. Why am I going through all this? They feel unworthy of his love, for they come too short. They're too disobedient. They fail too often. And I really don't think God really loves me. We should never feel like that. All you got to do is look at the cross and you realize how much God really did love you. That's all you have to do. No matter how dire the situation may be, it cannot separate us to a true believer from the love of Christ. Tribulation. Remember, he mentioned some of those. Sufferings and afflictions, maybe on your job, struggling between a certain dilemma, trying not to yield to temptations, a battle you're fighting with day in and day out and day in and day out, and you keep succumbing to it, and you're saying, I know God can't love me because I can't do right. Battling, battling. Well, let me give you a suggestion. And if you are struggling, maybe you ought to get with a faithful brother to help you. God did not mean for you to do this on your own. Confess your faults to one another. There you go. You need some help. God got members in place to help you if you need some help. You're struggling with a certain thing that seems to be overcoming you because you're allowing it. But there is some help. You call a brother in confidence. Talk to that brother. Let him know, I'm struggling with this thing. And maybe he can help you. He may call you from day to day. Let's have prayer. Let's help change your mind. See, it all starts in the mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. It's in the mind, brother. That's where that war is going on, in the mind. I need some help. I need a spiritual brother to call me. Help me out. I'm struggling. I've done this sin again today. I can't seem to get it right. I don't know if God's going to accept me in it. Yes, he will. You repent. Yes, he will. Well, thank God won't accept you. Yes, he will. Just think, you know, I thought about what Greg said, Brother Eric Owens, about that King Manasseh. 55 years. And God, he repented and God accepted him. Don't think you sin so much God won't accept you. Don't get to that point. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one can, except you decide you don't want it. You can separate yourself if you don't want God's love. That's right. It's always there. You know, the Bible says God loves a contrite heart. If you're in sincerity, you keep going to God. God, I need help. God's going to hear you. He'll hear you. He'll put somebody in place to help you. That's right. You go to another brother. I need help. And you may not be able to do this alone in this battle, whatever you're battling. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Whether it be tribulation or distress, agonizing over the loss of a loved one. That can be hard. I've seen members fall away when they lose a loved one. A storm on the horizon, and you lose someone you love dearly. And now you start questioning God. Why'd you take my mother? Why'd you take my daddy? Why'd you take my brother? Why'd you take my sister? You know how much I love them. Don't you dare challenge God in that. Don't you dare. You already knew from the beginning. From the dust you came, back to the dust you're going. This ain't no great mystery. It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. That means your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, even you going. You're going back. Don't you dare lay that charge to God. I know it might be hard. It might be hard. But God is right in the matter. And we may not understand all things on this side of eternity, but God has it in control. God understands. And we need to understand. Yes, there may be some great storms. Don't you allow that to cause you to walk away from Him. Who came to redeem you? Why did Jesus go to the cross? He didn't have to go to the cross. What did he do? My friends, yes. And we may agonize from time. Persecution. Why am I being abused all the time? Why am I being mocked? Why am I being ridiculed? Why am I being mistreated? Why are they ignoring me? We can find a lot of reasons not to love the Lord as we should. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall it be in peril, might be in several risks, might be exposed to some dangers. Why, when the tornado came, why did it take my house down? Why did it take yours down? Unexplained circumstances beyond your control. Thank God you're still standing. If your house do go down, that's all right. You replace that. You just thank God you survived. And even if you don't survive, you're going to pray you were faithful to God and you're going home. You win. It's a win-win situation. Yes. Yes. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And here's the fact, the storms are coming, brother. Oh yeah, they're coming. You remember Jesus told us about it. We're not going to read that, but Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. The storms are coming in this life. Jesus even told Paul, remember that? When Paul became the Apostle Paul, that he told Ananias, he's to suffer many things for me. He's going to suffer. Yeah, all that live godly are going to suffer some type of persecution. Remember what Jesus told his disciples before he left? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Matthew 5, 10 and 12, brother Montrell. Matthew 5, 10 and 12. What did Jesus say there in that Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5, 10 and 12.
Blessed
are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You hear that? Keep going.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall speak all manners of evil against you.
Yes.
For my name.
Yes. You see, this will challenge your fortitude. Yes, it will. In those persecutions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? But last but not least, my time is about up.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets.
Did you hear that? Rejoice, and then he give you a reason. The prophets in the past were persecuted. You need to rejoice as well. That's right. Yeah, persecution comes with this lot when you serve God. Because see, the world don't think it's God. You see, there's a great contrast between. Remember, God told Isaiah, my ways are higher than yours. As the heavens is higher than earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Yes, God's ways are totally different, and the world is not in agreement with it. Who shall separate us, my brethren, from the love of Christ when we give our life to him? But last but not least, this question challenges us and encourages us in our fortitude to be conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yes. Yes. There may be the hostility of the unbelieving world that cannot be dissolved right away because of our allegiance to Christ. You know, Paul said, for in that he himself has secured being tempted, talking about the Hebrew writer, talking about Jesus, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Hebrews 2:18. Christ triumphed over every situation imaginable. And that's why I read what I did back in the first part of this book, Romans chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. That's why we're more than conquerors. Christ helps us overcome self. You know what your greatest challenge is? Your greatest challenge ain't that person on your job. Or your family. Or your neighbor. Or what's going on at Capitol Hill. No, your greatest challenge is you. Because see, when Jesus told you to come, he said, deny yourself. You see, the problem is repentance. And when I repent, and I truly deny myself, and that's what Romans chapter 6 is all about, denying yourself, putting away that old man, not giving in, not surrendering to it, to the old man. There is the victory. Because now the mind of Christ is taking over. That's what makes us more than conquerors. That's right. That's what makes us more than conquerors. Just think about the madness of people all around us. What's going on? We are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Christ meets all of our necessities at hand. We don't have to worry about that. Jesus said, you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, I'll take care of all the rest. Think about that. We don't have to sit back and stress out and worry over it. We're more than conquerors because he gives us a peace like the world can't give us. We're more than conquerors because of the rest God can give us for our soul. I'm not talking about resting your achy feet. You need rest for your soul. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's that rest when you're at peace with God. Rest for the soul. Christ provides an escape for temptation. That's what makes us more than conquerors. We don't have to succumb to it. God has given us the knowledge whereby we can escape the pollution of the world. That's why we're more than conquerors than him that loved us. Yes. It challenges us. He supplies every need that we have to be the disciples he would have us to be. Christ enables us to overcome the world. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even, here it is, our faith. Our faith in him. You see, God can deliver us. Are you ready to be delivered? You know, Paul went on to say, he says, for I am persuaded. Hear what Paul says. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from God, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a whole bundle in it. That's about everything. And so therefore, who shall separate us from the love of God? And I want to commend my faithful brethren who love God and who love the truth. That's what attracted Brother Greg Dismuke here, is our love for the truth. And that is so important. Brother Darvin ain't here right now, but Brother Darvin told me that's why him and his family are here. They love the preaching and the teaching and the leadership. They're looking for stability. You know, when we walk in the truth, walk in the light as he is in the light, there's fellowship. God's presence is abound. Yes, it is. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Are you here tonight? How is your relationship with God tonight? Paul said after going over all what he did in the previous scriptures of that chapter, who shall separate us from the love of God? Thinking about all what God has done to secure your salvation. Who shall separate us? No one. Not if you're faithful. Not if you're faithful. You're faithful to God. No one can separate you between you and your God. I hope and pray this has been somewhat encouraging tonight. And I hope you remain faithful. That was a great lesson. I'm going to talk about Craig Stevens' lesson again, holiness. Because that's a part of your walk. Holiness. We got to be stopped trying to be like the rest of the world and be as a peculiar people, zealous under good works as God called us to be. That's what we need to be. And more importantly, we need to love one another as God would have us to love one another. Don't you go outside these walls and speak despairingly about the Lord's house and cause someone to stumble and not want to be a part of it. Be very careful with that. Because God's house is great. It's beautiful. It's precious. Jesus died for it and shed his blood for his house, the church. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I tell you, no one. You're here tonight. You have not obeyed the gospel. I hope and pray you will. You've been taught those things necessary. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, with all your heart? You're willing to repent of your sins and to confess your faith and to be buried with him in the water grave of baptism, burying that old man, crucified, and come up a new man and walk in Christ Jesus and be a part. And knowing that Jesus made all that possible on his death on the cross. And that he resurrected and now is on the right-hand side of God. Who shall separate us from the love of God, my friend? God loves you so much. You can come. I don't care what sin you've committed. God, you can come. God will forgive you. Yes, we serve a merciful God, a long-suffering God. Yes, we do. If you're here and you are members of the house, of the body of Christ, and you know there's something amiss in your life, the Lord still loves you. If it's public, make it known publicly. If private, go to God in private and ask God to forgive you for the thoughts and intents of your heart. Don't play around with the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. You need to get it right and get it right now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now it is. Don't fall asleep. Awake now to righteousness. High time. It's time to awake, brethren. Yes. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Please come and stand as we sing.